Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Kelly. Kelly, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, so thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here. My name is Kelly. I'm from South Wales, and I'm a marketer. I help business owners who are getting started or just beginning their journeys to use their personalities as their superpower to help them grow, because we're all unique and we don't need to lower our voice. We don't have to change our voice. We just have to be us. So that's my mission, to help you be you as you grow your business. So I'm here. I saw your podcast, and I'm here to tell you about my the reason how I'm a survival mode disruptor. So I used to work in Cardiff Social Services. So I started off in admin. I was made redundant and then applied for the council and got a job. So I worked there for 4 years as part of the admin team, and then I worked my way up through the council in adult social services. And then eventually then I was a social work assistant. So I was there for 11 years in total. And I got to a point then in 2019, end of 2019, I kept waking up every day, waking up at like 5 a.m. with like panic attacks, that dread, that, you know, anxiety. I remember I did the Cardiff Half Marathon in the October. I'm running past County Hall where I used to work and just having like this massive panic attack at the thought of having to go into work the next day. So this carried on for months. I ended up going to the doctors, and the doctor said it's basically you've got work-related stress. The only options are basically to either to quit, which obviously, you know, when you've got a child, a family, you can't just quit your job. I was a single parent, so I couldn't just quit because I had a family to look after. So I had a month off work, and then thought, right, let's gonna go. I want to go back to work, see how I get on. Prior to this, I'd had depression before the past and before my son was born. So mental health to me was important to take care of it, because I didn't want the depression to come back because I was now a mum. So my son was around 5 at this time. So then I went back to work, and then not long after I was going into work, and like I kept going to work and I'd be crying. I just felt like someone had died and I didn't know what it was. And then I just ended up then, I just went in, and then 11 years, I just handed in my notice in. I had no job to go to. So this was February 2020. I left, and then obviously we then had a massive worldwide global pandemic. So it's not a success story. I didn't go and quit a business and make £1 million. I didn't have a job for 6 months. So I had my son, so I had to homeschool my son, which, you know, a lot of people were in the same situation as well. So, you know the difficulties of it. In the background, prior to this, I had been training to be a teaching assistant. You know, my goal was, I was planning on leaving the council at some point anyway, because I wanted to change paths, because it suited my family better to be off with my son during the half terms and that. But it ended up, it was my health or the job, and I wasn't putting that before my son. There was no way of sacrificing my mental health for a job, basically. So that's basically around what happened at that time. And as they say, everything happens for a reason. So, 6 months off work then, it's not for the want of trying. I applied for like Tesco's, Domino's. I applied for every single job under the sun, as did everyone else. So, many of us didn't have jobs. So I was fortunate I was able to have that time at home with my son and be able to do all the homeschooling, even though it was difficult because he went to a Welsh language school and I'm not a Welsh speaker. So I was quite trying to learn Welsh and teach him and just, he was only in reception at that time, so he's very young. There's a lot they've got to learn. And then when they were all being lifted the rules slightly, then I started working in schools in September, and then I would get a job in a school, and then the teacher or someone in the class would have COVID, and then you'd all have to go home, and like for 2 weeks you'd have to isolate. So this was like a recurring pattern then, basically. So I'd get a job in a school, someone would have COVID, and then you'd have to go home and isolate them for 2 weeks, weren't able to work for 2 weeks. So it was just like this recurring pattern then, so that went on for the next couple of months then as well. So yes, that's a little bit about my story and how I got to sort of where I am a little bit today.
I think it's important to talk about workplace stresses, right? A lot of people don't recognize that as something that is traumatizing. They don't recognize that as something that it diminishes our mental health. And because we need to live, we need to work, right? And it creates this almost like pressure point for anyone in that position, because it's like, I can't just quit my job. And you said it, like, I can't just quit. But eventually you have to make a decision on what is the best route for you. And oftentimes it is removing yourself from that position. I used to work at Lloyd's of London. I worked there for many years. And I was in a position where I was managing a team overseas. I was the only person on my team in London. And I really struggled with the way that I was being treated and how I was being dismissed by my managers and the outsourcing company that I worked for. And I made a decision right before COVID as well, January of 2020, to throw the deuces up and say, I'm done. And then right after that, COVID hits. And then you're kind of in like this spiral of, well, what do I do after I've made this major decision? W what did you decide to do? Obviously, you have a business now, but what did that look like managing or getting to a point where you were running your business?
So, like in my head at that point, a business wasn't even in my mind at that point, that then basically. So, around just over 2 years ago now, so maybe the beginning of, well, we 25, so beginning of 23, February 23, I was thinking, oh, I just moved in with my partner. So, I'd been a single mum for 8 years. And then in the November 22, I moved in with my partner, so that was nice. We all moved in. I previously lived with my auntie for a couple of years because I was a single mum, and so we moved together in November 22, and then in like the January 23, I think I was just getting, because I'd had that move, I'd had that change in my life. I think it was giving me itchy feet to, I wanted more. So like, although I had my partner now, we had two incomes coming on, I was still only not only I'm not diminishing that, I was still a TA, just receiving minimum wage, and I didn't work half terms because obviously I was off with my son. I didn't get paid in half terms, so I was still on a low paid, and I'd left quite a well-paid job as well. So I was on a low paid job, and even with my partner's income, the thought of us even being able to go on a holiday, it would take us years to save. And I'd, my son didn't go out at all in those 8 years. But there's, so much opportunity which money and time can give us, which can both be limited when you're working a 9 to 5. So it was around that time I was getting itchy feet, thinking, oh, there must be more to life than this. It's a bit like it wasn't pushing, like going from social work to solving a lot of problems to, as a TA working with children with autism, it was quite a jump. Whereas I used to use my brain, my thinking, problem solving a lot in my social work job, and I was just mentally bored in the job. It was physically challenging because of the children's needs, but there was just, and I wasn't using my brain enough basically for me. So I started then thinking, oh, what can I do? I started looking up online. I was just reading. I still didn't know what to do. I just thought, you know, I want to work for myself. I see everyone else doing it. Why can't I do it? So I started doing online courses, reading books, and then in the February, then like I said, I just left for my auntie's house in the November, and then I went to see to check on her because she hadn't been well, and I found her passed away in bed. So obviously, I've gone back. You know, everything went on hold then because obviously it's the grieving process. I just lived there for a few months. I'd been there the day before, so none of us knew or her knew this was happening as such. So obviously, all plans went on hold again because, you know, we had to process that, the funeral, everything else. So it all sort of went on hold again. And then again, it's sort of one of those things that make you think life's too short. So that summer holidays, then I was like, I'm doing it. So I said, told myself by next summer, which was last year, it's going to be my last year working for anyone ever. And I'm going to start a business. So I started like posting. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue what I was doing. I was just getting there and I was just doing it. So I was learning, I was reading, I was doing courses. And then last summer, then I ended up, I quit my job. So since last summer now, so in the last few months, I've had two number one best-selling books on Amazon. I've done a marketing and launch certification. I'm doing a mindset certification. And it's just like absolutely crazy how from 5 years ago, literally 5 years ago, I was literally unemployed in the midst of COVID, homeschooling like everyone else was. Now, 5 years later, it's literally couldn't be more full circle. This wasn't even a dream, a picture 5 years. It wasn't even a thought. So how far, you know, everything dictates us for a reason and everything brings us here. So it's just crazy. If I hadn't done that, where would I be now, if you know what I mean? So it's just everything is a challenge, everything is a turning point, and we just learn from everything. So it's just, I'm very grateful for the position I'm in now, but all those challenges are there to put us on a new path.
I agree with you 100%, Kelly. And I think our challenges are there to put us on a new path if we are open to it. Because oftentimes we resist, we kind of get caught up in our circumstances instead of the possibilities that are in front of us, which is why oftentimes we stay stuck, why oftentimes, our mental health declines, because we think that our circumstances are our only option available. And a lot of times it isn't the case. It's about being willing to take a risk, willing to choose ourselves, willing to take ownership of our lives rather than just let life happen to us. And I think it's a big deal when we do that and then actually reap the rewards. And you said, like, I'm not a million-dollar business, you know, like, you know, but the contrast, I'm sure, between working for the console, even working, you know, as a teaching assistant, is a vast comparison to what it means for you to work for yourself and create a space for you that works.
It's not even the money, it's the freedom. So like in January, my grandfather is 97, and like in January I went round and discovered him ill in bed. He'd been ill for a few days, no food, no drink. Called the doctor, he had a chest infection. So because of the freedom of me not having to go to a 9 to 5, I was able to stay there for a week with him to look after him while we arranged it. And the good thing, my social work background was, in a week I was able to arrange, you know, social workers, OTs, physiotherapists. I was able to get everything in place in a week because I knew the background from it. But it was the freedom of, I could go there and look after him for a week. So I could sleep there at night, come home, do the school run, and then go back to take my son to his hobbies in the evening and then go back and stay there. It's not just the money, it's the freedom. And it's like one of my main reasons for doing it was because it was pros and cons working in a school. It was great. I was there. I could do the school run. I could have half terms off. But then I missed my son's concerts. I missed his sports days. There was lots I missed because I was watching other people's children do it instead. So, and that 1 year in the November, it was Children in Need, and my son, who was there 1 class a year, do a Children in Need assembly in all the schools, and it was his class that year. And I just remember this. He was like, we in the hall, and he's like, oh, it's my assembly tomorrow. I've got 3 lines, for an 8-year-old, 3 lines is massive. And he was like, oh, you come in. And I was like, oh, I can't, I can't. And he was just like, oh man. And those words, they stick in my head, do you know what I mean? And he was just like, no, I'm done. I don't care what I've got to do, I'm gonna do it. So I was working full time. So I literally built my business in my car. So on the school run, I'd go on, I'd do all my videos, I'd be doing my networking, my commenting. I'd get up an hour early every day to get up, do my connections, do my posts. I used to literally fill every gap of my time building it to get to where I could, so I could leave my job in the summer. So it was just those, you gotta, like, I didn't have much time, but I used that as a reason to build my business. A lot of people use it as an excuse. You've got to use that as your reason. You haven't got time now, so nothing's going to change. I didn't want to be burnt out, not enjoy life until I retired at 67. I wasn't doing it. So I was just like, you know what, I'm not following the rule book. I'm here to change that. And I'm so for everyone. You don't have to work a 9 to 5 till you retire. You don't. Everyone's got skills. Everyone can do something with it.
Absolutely. So my other business is a market research business, market research consultancy. And one of the things that I teach my clients is really learning how to use the skills that you already have to make you money. Like I think we believe that we have to have all of these things in place in order to start a business. And like you said, it is really about the freedom. I walked away from a really good job, but it was the freedom to be me, to not have to continue to, one second, not have to pack myself away every day when I went to work, not having to deal with it. Nonsense, really, just to say that I have my bills paid. And for me, it wasn't about the money either. My family and I were fortunate enough to be able to use a circumstance where we found ourselves homeless and take that and travel. We traveled for 2 years on the back of being homeless. Now that's freedom. Now, if I was still working at Lloyd's of London, I would have had to figure it out. I probably would have ended up in a hotel because of the council until I could find a place to stay, which wouldn't have been freedom for me because I have 2 children. You know what I mean? I was able to say, you know what? This is what we're doing. And what was meant to be 6 months turned into 2 years of incredible experiences for not only me, but my kids, who at the time were 2 and 4. Like my 7-year-old now is like, why are we still here? So we've moved back to England. Excuse me, we've moved
That's
back to
okay.
England. And we've been back just under a year. And she is like, why are we still here? Like, why are we not traveling? Because it had become the norm for her. And those are the things that you don't think you can give your children, especially if you're working a 9 to 5, that's mentally draining you. Apologies, like this
No,
dry
it's fine.
cough is driving me insane. Working a 9 to 5 that's mentally draining you, that is leaving you depleted. You bring your stress home and
Well,
you
it was
even.
like I was working in a school, and then I'd go straight home and have it to parents, and it's you're so you get so dysregulated from working in a school. You don't understand how difficult it is. You come out and you're just so it's just you're craving that silence. And then I get in the car, and I would just sit in the car for 5 minutes, just in quiet before I turn the engine on, just to have that 5 minutes. And then I'd have to go and do the school pickup, and then we were doing all our hobbies and everything. And I would just be knackered, and I would just be like, What for what? I'm not, I don't want to live like this until I'm in my 60s. So it was just like, what can I do? And you know, I've had to learn everything. Everything I've learned backwards. I've gone backwards more times than I've gone forwards because I didn't have a clue. But again, that's my journey and that was my path and that was my lesson. And I'm still going to learn more lessons and have more paths, but I take the experience from it and how I can turn that around and encourage others to do it as well. So it's more, you don't, you know, I don't have a business background. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have this, but I'm not a COVID success story. I didn't start my business in COVID. And today's business is very different to and from people started in COVID as well. So we've started in the hard times. But again, like with the market research, that's why I try and help people to be them. That's how you're going to get your clients, by being you. You don't have to be online. There's so many different ways you can meet and connect with people. And this day and age, that relationship building is more important than ever to grow your business than having 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Definitely that personalized touch that you get through networking and really building relationships and getting to know people, I think that's really success comes in business. And I think in my opinion, COVID really was the reason for that. I think COVID changed the way that we marketed to people. There was a lot of like bro marketing prior to COVID, which is not really flying anymore. Like you really have to get to know your audience. You really need to get to know the people that you're looking to serve and be willing to put yourself out there authentically, right? Like
It's got to be authentic now.
authenticity right now is really the key. Put yourself out there authentically and connect with people, build relationships. And it really helps you go a lot further.
And that market research is so important now. Like 5 years ago, you didn't need to do as much as you do now. So the people that now have made five, six, seven figures from when they started 5 years ago, if they started now, it would be a completely different story for them. And that's why I'm trying to get the message out as well. When they started, it was different. The market's so big now. You need to learn how to market and you need to know how to sell. And they're not difficult tasks to do. You just got to put your effort. There's no point being a good writer, writing good copy, if you're talking to an ideal client avatar, which is still being advertised. And there's too many people now to have an avatar. You need that data. You can't just make up a persona, which you could do 5 years ago, because there's so many people now. You need that data. And it doesn't matter how good your copy is. If you're talking to a fictional avatar, you're not going to grow your business to where it can be. And it's just a lot of that is being missold. And also, people are taking on clients and they're not taking into account, have they done their research? Do they know how to research? Like I said, you know, there's no point paying 5 grand to a copywriter to do a program with them because you're going to be talking to thin air and you're not going to grow your business.
That is so key. I know when I came into this space in 2019, having spent many years in data analytics, and my very first business coach was like, you need to know where your ideal client eats, and you need to know where she, what type of magazine she buys, and you need to know this, like where she, what type of stuff she listens to on the radio. And even back then, that made no sense to me. I get it from a targeting perspective, but how does that help me solve her problem? That
Because
I
everybody's
know
got,
that she eats at Cosmo's 3 times a week. Like it doesn't help. I am so sorry.
I know, it's fine, carry on.
It doesn't help me. It's
No.
really getting to the core of what is keeping her up at night, what she really needs in this moment. And it's not based on what I think it is. It's based on what they say it is, right?
Because it's like the psychographics as well, isn't it? Like you can have your niche and market full of your ideal clients, but every single one of them have all got a different buyer personality, and that's why it's irrelevant where you eat or what magazine you read. Obviously, that's part of, so you know where they hang out, you can sort of grab their attention. But everyone's got a different buyer personality, and everyone's buyer's journey is different, and you can't rush the buyer's journey. So the demographics and the psychographics are what is important.
Definitely the psychographics. And that is one thing that I didn't see being taught when I was starting my business, which is why I thought going into market research would help. And I helped a lot of clients because they really didn't understand what they needed to know in order to connect with their ideal clients. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
So, who do you work with now, and what is that looking like day to day?
So for me, I'm working more with local businesses. So a few months ago, I was just, do you know what? I'm fed up of trying to find to fight and find my space on the online world. I don't want to do it because you can't see what's going on. So I decided to start more networking. So my clients are the people who I meet at these networking events. I've gained friends from them, I've gained collaboration from them, and it's changed so much because I don't feel chained to a computer. I'm actually working less and I'm happier. And that's the other message which you need to convey as well. Your business doesn't bring you happiness. Joy brings you happiness. You need to aim for that joy and that happiness, and then your business success will come. It won't come if you're focusing on the happiness from your business. It's got to be the other way around. And since I've been connecting, networking, I'm even now running a local networking group. It's just everything is completely different. And it feels so much more aligned because I can hear their message, I can hear their struggles. They know me, and they automatically then build that relationship. They'll refer me or want to work with me after meeting with me once, as opposed to trying to build a relationship online for months. So I predominantly help the local women I work with their businesses, and I'm doing a lot of LinkedIn at the moment. So I'm helping with their LinkedIn profiles, and I'm helping with their LinkedIn with the market research on there and company training as well for local businesses. So it's really, I'm there to help them build their businesses by being them, not by being silenced, trying to fight online, trying to be the loudest. You don't have to be the loudest. You just have to be you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And the fact that you are using your networking events as like continual market research, I
Yeah.
think is the way to go, if
Yeah.
I say so myself.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, how can we connect with you online?
So I'm on LinkedIn. So Kelly Watts on LinkedIn. I'm also on Facebook and also on Instagram as well. Or if you're in South Wales, you'll find me at a networking event. But yeah, so come and say hi. I'm here for the network and the collaborations, the connections as well. It's all those other aspects. I'm very much a connector, so I'm not here just to get clients. I'm here to try and connect, collaborate. And for us all, there's enough room for all of us. So it's about building relationship and help other people connect with the ones who they want to be connected with as well.
I agree with you 100%. There is so much room for us to be able to collaborate and not be selfish and try to hoard it all for ourselves. Because the truth is, I can serve clients like you serve clients, and you
Yeah,
can serve clients like I
absolutely.
serve clients.
Yeah.
And not every client's going to vibe with me the way they vibe with you. So it's just being open. And if this is really about being impactful, it's not about being selfish, it's about spreading the love.
Yes.
So, Kelly, one last takeaway for the guests before we wrap it up.
One last takeaway would be just to don't silence that inner voice. Like, go with your gut. That's your intuition. It's there for a reason. Just follow the path. It's scary. When it's scary, it just means you're growing because you're outside your comfort zone. Life starts inside your comfort zone.
Absolutely. Life starts outside your comfort zone. Thank you so much, Kelly, for your time. Thank you, listeners, for catching another episode of Survival Made Disrupted. And I want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built just to survive. Reclaim your life and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.